This is Radio Hanger. I'm Tower, and this is Atis. Somewhere over southern Alabama this week, a student army aviator lifted off, turned onto a heading, and flew 50 miles from home with nobody in the other seat. No instructor, no safety pilot. Just a student, a helicopter, and a cross-country leg to fly and navigate alone. That's news, and here's what you need to know about why. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. So let's get into the headline. AveWeb is reporting that the United States Army has restored solo cross-country flights to its initial helicopter training, the basic warfighting skills phase, which is the foundational block of rotary wing flight training at Fort Novosel in Alabama, now once again sends student aviators out on their own, flying legs that extend 50 to 100 nautical miles from Shell Army Heliport, instructor-free. That's the part that matters. Now, if you learn to fly on the civilian side, this might sound routine. Solo cross-country is a rite of passage for every private pilot. You plan the route, you check the weather, you file your plan, and then you go do it by yourself. That first time you're truly alone in the airplane, miles from the field, navigating on your own decisions, that's the moment flying stops, being something someone is teaching you, and becomes something you actually do. The Army had stepped away from that for a while. The headline doesn't tell the whole story, so let me give you the context. Over the past several years, military rotary wing training leaned heavily toward keeping an instructor pilot on board for more of the syllabus. There were reasons: risk management, aircraft availability standardization, the sheer cost of a mishap in a training helicopter. When you're responsible for producing combat aviators and you're accountable for every airframe, the instinct is to keep an experienced hand within arm's reach for as long as possible. But there's a cost to that instinct too. And the Army appears to have decided the cost was too high. Here's the thing about solo flight. You cannot teach command by demonstrating it. A student who always has an instructor in the seat always has a backstop, consciously or not. Part of the brain knows someone else will catch the mistake. Take that person out of the aircraft and everything changes. Now the decisions are real. The navigation is real. The weather call is real. If you get behind the aircraft, nobody is going to get you caught back up. That pressure is the whole point. That's where judgment gets forged. The Army's basic warfighting skills phase is designed to build the foundational airmanship that everything else stacks on top of. Aircraft control, navigation, emergency procedures, decision-making under load. Restoring the solo cross-country leg puts the student in sole command over a meaningful distance, 50 to 100 nautical miles out, which is far enough that they own the whole problem. Plan it, fly it, adjust it, get home. This affects you if you care about where military aviators come from, and you should, because a lot of them end up sharing your airspace and eventually your cockpit. Many of the pilots flying for the airlines, for the air ambulance operators, for the offshore and utility helicopter companies came up through exactly this kind of training. When the military strengthens the foundation, the ripple runs through the entire industry for the next 30 years. Let me connect this to something you already know from your own flying. Think back to your own first solo cross country, or if you're a student right now, think about the one ahead of you. The value wasn't in proving you could fly the helicopter or the airplane. You'd already demonstrated that with your instructor watching. The value was in proving you could be the pilot in command, that you could make the go or no-go call, catch your own drift, recognize when the weather ahead didn't match the forecast and decide what to do about it with nobody to ask. The Army is betting that its aviators need that same crucible and that no amount of supervised flight fully replaces it. I think that's the right call, and I'll flag that last part as my opinion, not the Army's statement. There's a broader theme here worth naming. Across aviation, civilian, and military, there's a long-running tension between managing risk by adding oversight and building competence by carefully removing it. Both are real safety strategies. An instructor in the seat prevents the mistake today. A well-planned solo builds the judgment that prevents 100 mistakes over a career. The mark of a mature training program is knowing when to shift from one to the other. Restoring solo cross-country is the Army saying it's ready to trust its students at the point in the syllabus where trust does the most good. Structured, briefed, within defined limits, 50 to 100 nautical miles from Shell Army Heliport, but genuinely alone. What should you do with this if you're a flight instructor, civilian, or military? Take it as a reminder. The most important thing you do isn't demonstrating perfect technique. It's building a pilot who can operate without you. every lesson should be quietly working toward the day you get out of the aircraft. And if you're a student staring down your own first solo cross country, sitting somewhere between excited and terrified, let me tell you something. That feeling is the training working exactly as designed. The Army just decided its aviators need to feel it too. That reporting comes from AveWeb's coverage of Army aviation training at Fort Novosil. You can always find more at radiohangar.com. The first time you fly beyond sight of the home field with nobody to lean on, you find out who you are as a pilot. Good on the Army for putting its students back in that seat. This is Tower. Fly it like you own it. Because out there, you do.